The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the fifth chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
The words of our Lord. You have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out, throw it away. Better for you to lose one of your members than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one of your members than for your whole body to go into hell. It was also said, whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce. But I say to you that anyone who divorces his wife except on the ground of unchastity causes her to commit adultery. And whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Again, you have heard that it was said to those of ancient times, you shall not swear falsely, but carry out the vows you have made to the Lord. But I say to you, do not swear at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot even make one hair white or black. Let your word be yes, yes, or no, no. Anything more than this comes from the evil one. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Testament reading today was the last part of the 40th chapter of Isaiah, which is the credentials the prophet gives for promises that are made in the first part of that chapter. We shall hear those promissory notes from God now. Comfort, O comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that she has served her turn, that her penalty is paid, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice cries out, in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. Then the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all people shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry out. And I said, what shall I cry? All people are grass. Their constancy is like the flowers of the field. Grass withers, the flower fades when the breath of the Lord blows upon it. The grass withers, flower fades, yes, but the word of our God will stand forever. Get you up to a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good tidings. Lift up your voice with strength, O Jerusalem, herald of good tidings. Lift it up, do not fear. Say to the cities of Judah, here is your God. See, the Lord God comes with might, and his arm rules for him. His reward is with him, and his recompense goes ahead of him. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms and carry them in his bosom and gently lead the mother sheep. In in the midst of a population that sits for the most part comfortable, in a society that seeks above all else to be comfortable, in a cultural context that demands that every political or religious or personal opinion be tuned to one's own level of comfort. It seems to me that in the midst of that kind of all-consuming right to be self-seeking, self-aggrandizing, self-affirming, if you cover your mouth when you cough, somebody in the room is bound to say, good job. Seems to me, in that kind of context, to be perfectly ridiculous. The way we are here today. Beautiful day, temperature's perfect, everybody's got all the clothes and the food and the shelter they need. It's ridiculous to stand here in front of you or in front of the audience of this nation, if I had it, its ear, and to proclaim prophetically, comfort, comfort. You can't comfort people who are already comfortable. You can't comfort people who find it their right to pursue and be perpetually comforted and comfort able. That word is reserved for people such as the miners in Turkey, the little girls of Nigeria, the refugees driven about in Somalia, those suffering devastation in Afghanistan, those tens of thousands slaughtered in a decade-long war that we started in Iraq, Palestinians who have no home. The people at the border who look for a better life. The people, for instance, of Missouri and Kansas who might have the possibility of health care, except for the resistance of a few high and mighty. There are some mountains that need to come down, and there are some valleys that need filling in, but the word comfort is not for us. Here, today, no. It is the job, mission of the church, of us, to use that hackneyed old phrase, to afflict the comforted and to comfort the afflicted. We are not the afflicted. We are the white and privileged people at the top. We have a job to do. Our job is to talk to our own population who occupy this stratosphere of privilege and to bring word of the afflicted. And to say, God notices what you are doing to make sure that affliction obtains and is perpetuated. God notices. This 40th chapter of Isaiah opens a brand new tone for Isaiah. Up to now, the word has been of judgment and destruction. Why? Because the situation that obtained in Israel was pretty much exactly the way it obtains in the United States today. The comfortable saw it as their right to be comfortable, and those who were afflicted probably deserved whatever brand of affliction they were suffering. So just let it go. Be happy that you're where you are. I got an amen right there. And so it's time for us to take ourselves by the lapels and do turning. Turning, that's called repentance. To turn back from our constant acquisition to a stance of liquidation. to liquidate the blessings and the surplus that have been heaped upon us. The chief blessing of that is the grace of God in Jesus Christ. That's number one to be shared. And the sharing of that grace is made known chiefly through the outpouring of the generosity and the wealth of God's kingdom, which shows to the world that what God has given to the world in the way of resources, capacity to produce plenty and wealth is there for all. It is the job of the church to be that herald who speaks comfort and who, beyond speaking comfort, becomes comfort incarnate. I've decided to play good cop, bad cop, and let these guys be the good cop in my retirement, and I'm going to get to be bad cop. It's our job to set ourselves in word and deed against every ruling power and authority in the neighborhood, every ruling power and authority in the city and the state and the nation and the world that devises laws, policies, and strategies that, in fact, if not in intent, produce affliction and suffering. We allow ourselves to live comfortably in a society that perpetuates rules and regulations that commit people to lives of suffering. Our immigration laws, our health laws, our prejudices about women, and our legislation against those who seek a better life. Those are the very kinds of things that brought judgment upon Israel that was so vicious that now, finally, the prophet cries, comfort. Here's the message. It says, comfort. And the prophet says, a voice said to me, cry. And I just said, well, what should I say? People are like grass. Looks good. I was remarking to Judy on the way down here how beautiful and green everything is. But I know how it's going to look in August. Now, that's not here this morning, gone this afternoon, but that's what the text says. And that's what goes on with our faith sometimes. So strong. But we have countenanced an affliction-preserving system for so long that it's impossible not to see the judgment of God around the corner. And so it's our job to join the ranks of the afflicted so that we can hear the word comfort with honesty and integrity. Not just to stand up here and look down there, but to be there as well. To share that plight. That's what Paul's talking about in his word to the Philippians. This is God's doing, he says, for he has graciously granted you the privilege not only of believing in Christ, which we do, and we pound our doctrine hard and true over and over again, not only the privilege of believing in Christ, but of suffering for him as well, since you are having the same struggle that you saw I had and now hear that I still have. Paul, who calls himself a slave to Christ. Slaves own nothing. They don't even own themselves. But they are, if they are slaves to Christ, absolutely radically free. that makes us set free from the law that binds us to many things, free to be the people God has called us to be. So words of accusation that come out of the mouths of legislators that resist God's desire for people suffering to be lifted needs to be confronted by the people of God. Being quiet in the face of that is no longer satisfactory or to be tolerated from me either, for I too have been an accomplice and a silent watcher of all that is accomplished in this country to advance the cause of already those who already have more than enough, against, literally against those who have nothing. We have a great and awesome task to be alongside the afflicted. Proclaim the coming of God to them. The coming of God to them. God who brings with him his recompense, his dignity, whose advance care is on the way, and indeed here. That comes in the name of Yahweh, the text says. And in Jesus Christ, everything that Yahweh brings is enfleshed and given to us. In the sacrament that you receive today, everything that God is in his delivering and comforting power is provided to you and to me. All of it, the entire package is there. So what holds us back? Nothing. There is no string attached to that love and power of God. It is given to you, the full mercies of God. So, what do we have? We have the mercy of God and the grace of God. We have the power of prayer. And so many times we speak of that as the last resort. Well, we say, there's nothing else we can do now except call on the mercy of God. Really? That's not where we started? Well, I'm sorry, but there's nothing we can do anymore except pray. Really? That's not the place we start. Well, let's start. Let's start with the mercy and the grace of God, the power of prayer, the possibility of being comfort. Real comfort to people. Not the kind of namby-pamby comfort, but the kind of comfort that speaks out and up to those who think they're running the show. God comes. He brings comfort. He brings comfort to the afflicted. May we be numbered among them.